My God, why have you forsaken me? The Gospel of Mark tells us that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, having been betrayed, judged to be a threat, beaten, and crucified, he called out to God, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away? Why do I not feel you anymore? With this cry, we see how empathetic and how vulnerable Jesus is, as he too experienced something that many of us have also felt, this feeling of being abandoned by God. He is lamenting the loss of God's presence. Throughout Lent, the six-week preparation before Easter, we have turned to an ancient practice and one that Lent makes a lot of space for, and that is to lament. Lament is to express deep grief and sorrow. It is what happens when the promises of God collide with the reality of our lives, and we express that collision and call on God to harmonize the two. Throughout Lent, we have turned to the Psalms of Lament and have found that no matter what it is that we are going through, we can find shared understanding in the words of the Psalms of Lament. One author suggested that these Psalms give voice to the groaning pain of those who long for but cannot find a faithful God in their suffering. And perhaps no psalm seems to highlight so deeply our longing for a faithful God in our suffering more than Psalm 22. And that is the very psalm that Jesus is quoting as he cries out to God. My God, why have you forsaken me? One author commented how Psalm 22 has an intensity and comprehensiveness that is almost unequaled among the Psalms of Lament. There is a reason why these are the very words that Jesus uses in his most desperate hour. Moreover, we find foreshadowing to what Jesus experiences in the content of Psalm 22, like clothing being divided among enemies or insults being hurled at him. In the 31 verses of Psalm 22, we see two sections, a lengthy complaint, and a turn to praise, as we often find in our Psalms of Lament, which is also quite lengthy compared to other psalms we have looked at. First, in the complaint section, the psalmist feels that God is not hearing him, is being mocked for their faith, and believes that God is the only one who can save them. The phrase that the NIV has translated as cries of anguish in the latter part of verse 1 is difficult to translate and to encapsulate the depth of the emotion that is happening here. Perhaps a better phrase would be my roaring words. That's probably a more exact translation of the Hebrew. This is not groaning or complaining. These words are expressed in the raspy scream of one who is in deep distress. We can imagine that roaring words were exactly what Jesus expressed as he hung from the cross. From verses 12 to 21, the psalmist particularly addresses the kind of attacks that they are experiencing, the reasons for their cries for help. This section in particular is filled with really interesting poetic imagery and phrases. I'm going to read a couple of verses for us. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. This creative phrasing really gives us a picture of the psalmist's suffering. Bones out of joint, wax heart melting, a dry mouth. This is a very good description of the physicality of fear. In the attacks section, where the psalmist is experiencing these attacks, we read of bulls, lions, and dogs, and then we get to the praise and confidence portion, and these attackers are dealt with in reverse order, as the psalmist asks for his precious life to be protected from the power of the dogs, rescue from the mouth of the lions, and saved from the horns of the wild oxen. The specific use of this one phrase, bulls of Bashan and lions actually, also highlight the idea that these enemies are very powerful, also probably some kind of political enemy, as these images are regularly symbolized, strong political power at their time. Their power and status also would discourage many other people from standing up against these enemies, against these oppressors, It's hard to stand up against a powerful oppressor. And this makes the psalmist feel all the more alone. And when the psalmist mentions dogs, the original text uses a phrase in verse 16 that the NIV translates as a pack of evil ones. But probably that is better translated as a congregation of evil ones. Using this word congregation, which is most used to reference one's worshiping community, the psalmist is highlighting that this is not some distant group. This is the shared community. It's the psalmist's very community, the people who are closest to them, that is oppressing them now. Again, we see a connection to Christ's own experience. By verse 22, we move into the praise and confidence section, and now the psalmist invites their community to join in this praise. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. We exchange the menacing and surrounding congregation of enemies for being surrounded by the worshiping congregation of community. And the psalmist then proclaims their confidence in God based on their experience of being rescued and being helped by God. And this praise and worship of God will extend past their immediate community to the ends of the earth as all the families of the nations praise God together. There's a justice component we see in this psalm as well, where the poor will be cared for together with the rich, those who are healthy and robust, and those who are nearing the grave. All will be together, and all will be in the worshiping community for all generations. The equity that is shown to the psalmist will be known throughout the whole earth. And yet, the part that is most quoted, and the part that is quoted by Jesus, is not in the praise section. It is from earlier in the psalm, when the psalmist is very much in the midst of his pain. In Jewish tradition, let's remember, Jesus was Jewish and participated in Passover and all of the Jewish festivals, as he was a very devout Jewish person. And in Jewish tradition, Psalm 22 is one that is traditionally read during the Feast of Esther, the Fast of Esther, sorry, the day before Purim, something that occurs every year. These are the words that are recited every year. It would have been well known to every Jewish person, and so we can easily understand why it is these words that Jesus cries out from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? When the coronavirus was overtaking the world in spring of 2020, N.T. Wright wrote a piece for Time magazine titled, "Christianity Offers No Answers About the Coronavirus. It's Not Supposed to." In the piece, he addressed the pain of the pandemic experience, the loss of lives, the loss of jobs, feeling isolated and scared, and the ways that some Christians offered perhaps a knee-jerk response to these things, saying everything happens for a reason, which just feels thin. It just feels off-putting when you're in the midst of it. He suggested instead, perhaps what we need more of is to recover the biblical tradition of lament. As through lamenting and turning to the passages of lament, we find words for our suffering, and we do this while seeking God together. N.T. Wright went on to write, "The point of lament, woven thus into the fabric of the biblical tradition, is not just that it's an outlet for our frustration, sorrow, loneliness, and sheer inability to understand what is happening or why. The mystery of the biblical story is that God also laments." Some Christians like to think that God is, as above all that, knowing everything, in charge of everything, calm and unaffected by the troubles in his world. And that's not the picture we get in the Bible. God laments. Jesus laments. Often our times of corporate worship can lean into a more happy, clappy space. And sometimes it's nice to embrace a more joyful experience when things are difficult. But sometimes, when things are difficult, singing happy, clappy songs can feel like pretending, and the words can be like sawdust in our mouths, and what we truly want to say to God are the same words that Jesus said. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. Today, as we journey with Christ to his death, we will enter into the story of his suffering, just as Christ himself entered into ours and willingly took upon himself all sin, all shame, so we do not have to suffer likewise. We will find in this journey that Jesus Christ understands the depths of the pain we also experience at times, as his experience plunges to those very same depths. Just as we sometimes feel abandoned by God, by others, we will read Christ feeling and experiencing the very same thing. Together we will cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? And also, together, we believe, as the psalmist writes, he has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. He has and will listen to our cries for help. Today we walk with Jesus to the cross. This service of Tenebrae is an ancient one of shadows as we go from light into darkness. Each candle that you see around us will be extinguished, and it represents a significant moment in the journey to the cross as we contemplate the importance of Christ's death. After each candle is extinguished, there will be a moment of silence, followed by some kind of response that we invite you to participate in, such as a song or part of a communion or perhaps a prayer of confession. But those silences will be there, and so I encourage you to reflect and take those moments together. Let us journey with Christ, our Lord and Savior, as we ponder his great sacrifice. Let's pray together. Most gracious God, look with mercy upon your children gathered here, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, given into sinful hands, and suffered death upon the cross. Strengthen our faith and forgive our betrayals as we enter the way of his passion. Through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen.